Zionism's Contradictions, a political project built on cognitive dissonance. The modern state of Israel, as the political embodiment of Zionism, is built on a series of contradictions so stark that they require not only ideological contortion but the suspension of legal, moral, and historical logic. Far from being the democratic refuge it proclaims itself to be, Israel has institutionalized ethno-national supremacy, enforced military occupation, and engaged in systemic deception, relying on a propaganda architecture that collapses under the weight of its own inconsistencies. To speak truthfully about Israel is not to attack Jewish identity. On the contrary, some of the most vocal and principled opponents of Zionism have been Jewish intellectuals, scientists, rabbis, and survivors of fascism, among them Albert Einstein, who called Zionist leader Menachem Begin a fascist in a 1948 letter to the New York Times. To criticize Israel is not to be anti-Semitic. It is to resist the moral and political decay Zionism has wrought on the Jewish tradition of justice and on the Palestinian people who bear the daily cost of its contradictions. A Jewish and democratic state, oxymoron in practice. Israel claims to be both a Jewish state and a democracy for all its citizens. This assertion is more than a contradiction. It is a carefully curated falsehood. The 2018 nation-state law states explicitly that the right to exercise national self-determination in the state of Israel is unique to the Jewish people. Arabic, once an official language, was demoted. Meanwhile, 20% of Israel's population, Palestinian citizens, are legally second-class, denied equal access to housing, education, and political influence. How can a state founded on ethnic exclusivity also claim to be democratic? It cannot. No democracy worthy of the name enshrines racial or religious hierarchy into its basic law. Israel's democracy functions for Jews, and Jews alone. Criticism as anti-Semitism, a shield against accountability. The conflation of criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism is not just illogical, it is intellectually dishonest. By endorsing definitions like the IRA working definition, Israel weaponizes Jewish suffering to silence opposition. It equates those who oppose apartheid, occupation, and ethnic cleansing with anti-Semites, while ignoring the many Jews, religious and secular, who condemn Zionism as a betrayal of Jewish ethics. Einstein, Hannah Arendt, and Martin Buber all warned that a Jewish state built on nationalism and violence would end in tyranny. Contemporary groups like Jewish Voice for Peace, If Not Now, and Orthodox anti-Zionist Jews such as Netzarei Karta continue this tradition. But under Israel's ideological framework, these Jews are smeared as self-hating, a grotesque irony for a state that claims to represent all Jews. This flattening of Jewish identity into a monolithic Zionist narrative is an assault on Jewish plurality and a profound betrayal of Jewish history. Selective lawfare, international law as political theater. When hospitals in Gaza are bombed by Israeli jets, the response is silence or obfuscation. Hamas used it as a base. When an Iranian missile causes damage near an Israeli hospital, it is immediately branded a war crime. This is not legal reasoning, it is public relations masquerading as justice. Israel cherry-picks international law. It invokes the right to self-defense under Article 51 of the UN Charter, but rejects binding resolutions from the UN Security Council and rulings from the International Court of Justice. It operates above the law because its principal ally, the United States, ensures impunity at the highest levels. This is not the behavior of a democracy governed by norms. It is the behavior of a rogue actor shielded by power. Menachem Begin, terrorist-turned-prime-minister. Perhaps the most glaring contradiction in Israel's narrative of fighting terrorism lies in the life of Menachem Begin, founder of the right-wing Likud Party and Israel's sixth prime minister. Before his political rise, Begin was the commander of the Irgun, a Zionist paramilitary group responsible for a series of indisputable terrorist attacks. The Deir Yassin massacre, 1948, over 100 Palestinian civilians were slaughtered. The King David Hotel bombing, 1946, 91 people were killed in a British administrative center. The British embassy bombing in Rome and the hotel soccer bombing in Vienna were acts of international terrorism. The British Mandate government put a £10,000 bounty on Begin's head. He was, by all legal and political definitions of the time, a terrorist. And yet, Begin later entered the Israeli Knesset, founded the Likud Party, and became prime minister. Today, his name adorns highways and academic institutions in Israel. Contrast this with how Palestinians are treated. Any armed resistance to military occupation, even when aimed at soldiers or illegal settlers, is immediately labeled terrorism. The very acts that helped found Israel are celebrated, similar acts by the oppressed are demonized. This hypocrisy is not accidental, it is foundational. The war that isn't won. Israel frames its campaigns in Gaza as acts of war. Yet it refuses to recognize Palestine as a state, and Hamas as a legitimate combatant force. This deliberate ambiguity allows Israel to escape legal obligations in both directions. It invokes the laws of war to justify bombardment but rejects prisoner of war, POW, status for captured fighters. Israeli captives are called hostages regardless of military status, while Palestinians are denied both legal rights and human dignity. This is not merely a contradiction, it is a system of asymmetrical warfare legitimized through legal manipulation. The weaponization of indigeneity. Zionist ideology claims a 3,000-year-old connection to the land of Israel, often conflating spiritual heritage with political sovereignty. Yet most Jewish Israelis today are descendants of European immigrants, many of whom arrived in the 20th century. Meanwhile, Palestinians, Muslim, Christian, and Jewish, had lived continuously on the land for generations before the Nakba of 1948. In 1917, over 95% of the population of Palestine were Arabic speakers. Hebrew was a liturgical language, not a spoken one. The claim of Zionist indigeneity often functions not to share the land, but to erase Palestinian presence entirely. True indigeneity is not a tool for displacement, it is a call for coexistence. Zionism, however, has used the language of return to justify ongoing colonial expansion. Conclusion: a project built on inversion. Zionism, as practiced by the State of Israel, inverts every ethical and legal norm it claims to uphold. It demands a world where occupation is defense, and resistance is terror, ethnocracy is democracy, historical memory becomes land title, war criminals become prime ministers, Jewish dissenters are erased, and Jewish nationalism is conflated with Jewish identity. To accept these inversions is to accept a reality where truth is whatever power says it is. But millions of people, Palestinians, anti-Zionist Jews, and principled allies, refuse to participate in this farce. They demand that the law apply equally. That democracy mean equality. That history be honored, not exploited. To stand against Zionism is not to stand against Jews. It is to stand with Jews like Einstein, who saw in its violence a future of endless war. It is to demand a world where justice is not suspended for any state, no matter how sacred it claims to be. Zionism has demanded the suspension of reason. The time has come to end the charade.